Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to KTOO. Good afternoon. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. Members of the Juno community have an opportunity to watch recorded interviews with finalists for Juno School's superintendent and give feedback to the school board by Thursday. Finalists for the Juno School District superintendent position did a round of interviews last week with a consultant from national search firm McPherson & Jacobson. In their interviews, each candidate highlighted the importance of building trust with the community and collaborating with staff and local partners. One finalist is Sean Arnolds, the current principal at Thunder Mountain Middle School. He says it's important to preserve students' classroom experience in the wake of limited resources.
We must continue building a culture where every student feels that they belong, because belonging changes everything. Enrollment numbers, they do matter, budgets matter, but students matter most. If selected, my commitment is to lead with courage, compassion, and clarity.
Kevin Shipley, the current superintendent of Eva Dale Independent School District in Texas, is another finalist. He formerly worked at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute as its education director and was a superintendent of Cake City School District. He says the superintendent and district's office's job is to support teachers and principals in the work they do.
The experts that we have are my teachers. The experts are my principals. I sit down and utilize them and ask them, what are we doing? How can we do it better? What are your needs? And I create a service environment from the central office where we serve to meet the needs of our staff.
Former University of Alaska Southeast Dean of Education Carly Simon is the third finalist. She was previously a superintendent in Florida and was a finalist for the same position in 2023. She says the district should give space for people to process the challenges the district has gone through and to support teachers so they can focus on student learning.
Sometimes it's very hard to focus on the work that matters when all of these disruptions are happening outside. So what I have always tried to focus on is supporting faculty, staff with creating the environments where they can work in their classroom.
Full recordings of each interview are available on the district website at junoschools.org. The public will also have an opportunity to meet candidates in person this Wednesday at Thunder Mountain Middle School at 6 p.m. The school board wants to hear feedback on the finalists. The public and district staff can weigh in through Thursday using a survey on the finalists' strengths and weaknesses. Juno School Board will interview all candidates in a closed session on Thursday afternoon. Since the Army Corps of Engineers pulled back its decision to design a leak tap that would put a stop to annual glacial outburst flooding in Juno's Mendenhall Valley, local and congressional leaders have pressed the agency to explain why. Until recently, the Army Corps was pursuing the lake tap solution, which would involve digging a tunnel through Bullard Mountain to continuously drain the glacial basin that fills with rain and meltwater, so the water can't rush out all at once each year. It would work like a bathtub drain. The idea drew broad local support. Juno city leaders say they're concerned this change will delay a long-term solution. U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan asked the Army Corps for transparency at a U.S. Senate committee hearing on Wednesday.
There is this perception that things are going dark, people are nervous again, that the Corps is not engaged.
Adam Tell, Assistant Secretary for the Army Corps of Engineers, said this change of course is not a pullback on the agency's commitment to protecting the valley from flooding.
We are committed to a short, medium, and long-term solution for the challenge that faces Juno.
Lieutenant General William Graham, Chief of Engineers and Commanding General at the Army Corps, told Sullivan the agency will take more time to evaluate all of the options for a long-term solution. Besides a lake tap, those options are a dam at the outlet of the Mendenhall Lake, a permanent levee along the Mendenhall River, and a bypass channel through the floodplain or relocating impacted residents.
It's too soon to take any options off the table because what we're wrestling with most here is time.
Graham said at the hearing that if the agency moves ahead with the lake tap, the temporary levee could fail before a tunnel is completed, meaning the valley could be hit by catastrophic flooding again. The temporary levee protected most valley homes from a record-breaking flood last summer, but water rose within inches of the top and seeped through some areas. So Graham said the Army Corps wants to look for an intermediate solution. Kester sent an email to Juno residents Friday saying she's deeply concerned about the uncertainty around a long-term solution. Last week, the city submitted an $8 million congressionally directed spending request to fund a plan for a lake tap. She wrote that the city will, quote, keep the pressure on and invite residents to continue advocating for a solution that will protect the valley in the long run. Crews are about halfway done removing a colossal drilling rig that toppled over on the North Slope. State on-scene coordinator Kimberly Marr says the first focus was on spilled fluids, and now they're also dismantling the structure.
Right now, there's ice roads that have been constructed in place that heavy equipment can work from. And so as of this afternoon, they've removed about 47% of the rig.
Marr, who works for the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, spoke Thursday. The rig is called Doyon 26 and nicknamed the Beast. It was as tall as a 15-story building and fell a month ago while it was in transit. Marr says the salvage operation is on track to be finished by spring breakup. She says slightly more than half of the estimated 4,600 gallons of diesel and hydraulic fluids that spilled has been recovered so far. The site is 6 miles northwest of the Nuiqsut community. Marr says it's about 500 feet from streams.
Fortunately, this happened while everything is very frozen, and so we will be continuing to monitor the site, delineate the contamination, and put tactics in place to minimize any potential of contamination hitting any waterways.
ConocoPhillips expected to use Doyon 26 in its exploration of the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska. It's continuing that work with other equipment. Earth Justice attorney Ian Dooley filed a lawsuit over the work in the reserve. He says the rig accident is emblematic of the problems people in Nuiqsut have had.
There's a lack of safety. There's a lack of oversight. There's a lack of accountability that is going along with the oil and gas projects that are occurring in this area. And there is at least some deep concern by community members that their safety is not being duly considered.
The cleanup is a joint operation of Doyon Drilling, federal and state agencies in the North Slope Borough and the Inupiaq community of the Arctic Slope, a tribal government representing Nuiqsut and 7 other villages. And folk singer and songwriter Willie Carlisle is this year's guest artist at the Alaska Folk Festival in April. Carlisle is from Kansas, and he spent his career in and around the Ozark Mountains, learning folk traditions and reimagining them. KTLO spoke with Carlisle about what makes Folk Fest so special.
Them coals are turning bright red, firewood's in the truck bed, river's running low this time of year.
And you were in Juneau for Alaska Folk Fest in 2019. What drew you to apply to do that and to come up and perform?
I ran into the Alaskans at the Folk Alliance conference. They were so rowdy and welcoming. It just felt like the stars aligned and I could make it to this amazing community event. By community events, I mean like most of the people are just there to share with each other. And that's a model for a folk festival that I kind of think that the rest of the world could learn something from.
And so I'm wondering, like, what is it like for you to come back to Juneau for Folk Fest after 7 years? And I know things have probably changed for you in your life. And what does that mean to you?
Boy, for one thing, it's just a dream come true. The idea that I can come back in this capacity is a little overwhelming and something I want to do right by. I want to try to take opportunities like the Alaska Folk Festival to like break the mold a little bit, to be a part of reigniting folk music's like activistic edge, but also to just stay a perpetual learner and to stay curious, because I'll admit right now that I'm intimidated by the level of picking that I heard, at the very least. I've got some things to learn from guitar players and banjo players and fiddle players all over, you know, too.
On your newest album, there are some old school sounding folk and country songs about people who don't often make it into those kind of stories, like Big Butt Billy.
Well, good God almighty, hell, Satan, I've never seen a finer they them than Big Butt Billy.
What do you think of expanding the cast of characters in the genres you work in?
I could have a career where I could just try to pass as straight and someone who did not care, but that would feel so horribly dishonest that it would really be me harming myself. And I've already done that, and I'm not interested in it. And frankly, I don't understand how artists are not vocal about things. I don't understand how they get up in the morning, and I don't have a lot in common with them.
In an interview, you said a folk singer should be a dreamer with a long memory. And I'm wondering, how do you think the moments that we're living through right now are adding to that long memory and influencing your music?
I think that folk music is a part of acknowledging, and not just acknowledging, but performing the dialectical materials of the people that have struggled to get us where we are today. Right? And I don't just mean strictly protest music. I mean your grandmother singing a little song while she's washing the dishes is a part of the history of that, like, unacknowledged, unaccounted for work that we can acknowledge by living traditions in our bodies with each other. When I say a dreamer with a long memory, what I mean is a dream deep enough to be compassionate to people that are no longer here, to listen to the ghostly voices that labored, worked, procreated, you know, loved, hated, and scrubbed and toiled to get us here. But also to have a memory long enough to attach those dreams to reality, to our current lived scenario.
Yeah, they say the pay is prime time, much better than a cop. Surely better than a teacher in the cities where they stomp on the necks of those who came here with a prayer or with a dream, than those that seek asylum from unjust regimes. They'll terrorize our cities till we stand right where she stood. History will tell the story. They were evil, she was good.
That was folk singer Willie Carlisle. He's this year's Folk Fest guest artist. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 17 degrees and snowing, and there is a winter storm warning in effect from tomorrow at 3 a.m. until Wednesday at noon. The National Weather Service says heavy snow is expected, with total snow accumulations of 8 to 14 inches and wind gusts up to 40 miles an hour in downtown Juneau. This is KTOO. Thank you for tuning in.
The doctor asked me where it hurts. Born to fish, forced to work. Don't let them tell you what your broken heart's worth. Fire ant on the sugar trail. Tail feathers on a nightingale. Arrowheads and bones is all you'll find. Boy had a hot dog, pretty good life. Pretty little house, pretty big wife. She lets me wear her underwear anytime I...